Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome, a hearty welcome to the Church of God International in London. We thank you so much for joining us here on the internet as we live stream to countries across the world. And we're looking forward to sharing with you today. Of course, just before we get into the sermon for today, I want to remind you that you can be in touch with us directly through our website at www.cgiuk.org, and you can go to our Facebook page, and there you'll be able to see the many sermons and presentations. You'll be able to see our blogs that we actually have on site, and you can interact with us in that way. Or if you want to send us an email, it's pretty easy. It's infodesk@cgiuk.org. infodesk@cgiuk.org. And of course, we meet every Sabbath here at the Global Academy in the area of Hayes. The full address is there on our website, so you will be able to join us just whenever you can. And also, I want to remind you that we have been, over the past week, speaking to the themes of the fall festivals, because we are approaching the festivals of the Feast of Trumpets, which is, by the way, on Monday. It's on Monday, and this is the 10th of September. So we want you to know that that is a holy day that you should be observing if you want to, you know, be a part of God's festivals. And also to remind you that 10 days after that, there is the Feast of Atonement. And the Feast of Atonement, that's the 19th of September, and that is a fast day. What it means is that you'll begin a fast in the evening of the 18th, and then you end your fast in the evening of the 19th. So that's a fast day. And it is the only compulsory fast day, the only mandatory fast day in the scriptures. Of course, this doesn't mean you're not to fast whenever you are so moved to do fasting, because God tells us that sometimes our prayer are hindered because of a lack of fasting. And Jesus would say to some that these miracles occur only through prayer and fasting. So our fasting must not be neglected through the year. We are supposed to be fasting as we go along. And, of course, all these instructions which we are giving you, they are instructions from the Word of God. Over some period of time, if you've been listening to us, you would have seen that we have shown you the scriptures that relate to all of these observances. So keep in touch with us, and there's more that you will learn. But you know what? Today we are going to continue on a theme we started last week. And that is, we spoke last week about what is the mark of the beast. And you will remember that in that presentation, we said that the identity or the mark of the beast are the laws created by the beast. That's the mark that people are going to obey. They're going to obey those laws instead of God's laws. And this is really what is going to differentiate those who are God's people as against those who are not. In fact, if you look in the book of Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, it tells you about this beast, Satan the enemy, who is utilizing governments and individuals to promote his false doctrines. And what it says here is, it says that this beast, or this antichrist, or this dragon, which is all Satan's work, will speak against the Most High. He also will oppress God's holy people. And listen to this part. And try to change laws and times. Did you hear that? The laws of God, he will oppose them. And he will try to change those laws so that man will obey his laws instead of God's laws. There is a battle that is on.
Amen.
The battle is between Satan's way and God's way. And Satan has developed his own set of laws and is wooing man. Now, he doesn't change all of God's commandments. No, he doesn't do that because he knows nobody's going to support him with that. But he changes some things that people don't feel so guilty about. And one of them is the Sabbath. People believe that, well, it's one in 7 days. So once I take off a day. So you know what? He changed God's Sabbath, which occurs on the seventh day. And he says, you observe the first day, which is Sunday. And it doesn't sound so difficult because many people say, well, you know, why? God is not fussy about a particular day. You know, once I'm observing a day. And, you know, they make their own way of explaining it. But that is how Satan deceives us. That is how he gives us little explanations in order to be able to defy God's authority. And for that reason, he not only changed the Sabbath, but he changed the times. What God calls his appointed times. Like the Passover, changed to Easter. Or like the Feast of Tabernacles, changed to Christmas. And don't you notice how the world, oh my goodness, people who are not in Christian countries, they are celebrating all of these feasts out there because it has become a kind of a worldwide thing. Well, let me tell you, you haven't seen anything yet. You're going to see the time when people are compelled to observe these things. And that is why the beast is going to be so powerful. So last week, we spoke about the mark of the beast. But this week we're going to say, who is the beast then? Who is the beast? We want to know and we want to be able to explain all of that. So, if you look into the scriptures, you know, in terms of what the mark of the beast is that we were talking about, notice the change of the law is what you saw that in Daniel 7:25. Well, look at Revelation 12:17 and look at what is happening there. That should tell us enough. That should tell us, look, we can't play around with this thing. Because it says, the dragon, referring to the same person who is changing laws, it says the dragon was enraged with the woman, meaning the church, and went off to make war with the rest of her children, the members of God's church. And what was this war about, by the way? Do you see it in your Bible? Do you want to take a look? Just look with me at Revelation 12:17, where we're reading from. And you will see why he is raged. For the same reasons. You're not obeying his law. He says, he is enraged with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. That's the war. Yeah. The war is my law or God's law. And that's where the mark comes. Because that's the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is disobedience to God's law. The mark of the beast is creating laws that are opposed to God's law. And therefore, when you take on that character, that behavior, that belief, then, of course, you are going to be doing exactly what God says you must not do. God says, remember the Sabbath day. That's speaking about the mind to remember. That's where this mark in the forehead comes from. Do not do your own work on that day. That's your hand. You are going to be using your brain, your mind, and you're going to be using your hand to oppose God. That is your ascension to the beast's power. You'll be utilizing it if you do that. And so it's important to understand that that is a mark. Now, many are asking, so what about, you know, the idea of one being hindered from buying and selling as is done? Well, once you have that mark, you'll be free. You'll get all the goodies of the beast. The beast is going to allow you to have all your groceries. It's going to allow you to go do your job. is going to allow you to spend money. You're going to be free because you are following the beast's pattern. So the beast is going to take care of you. But you know what? It's going to be a disaster.
Yes.
Because God says that those who take this mark are going to be punished by the what God is going to unleash.
Yes.
Which is the punishment of God are going to be upon those people. So therefore, you know, it's going to be a difficult time. Maybe today we are saying we're living in good times. Maybe we're saying that there's peace and there's safety and there's all that. But there is a time that is coming. And you know what? It's important that you check it out to see whether this is true. Because it affects all of us. And not only us, it affects our children. And all of us have to have that kind of a mind to know. Look in Revelation 14 and verse 12. Revelation 14 and verse 12. It says, here is the perseverance of the saints. It calls for perseverance. It calls for being able to bear the pain and bear all of the difficulties that this time is going to bring in order to be able to survive. Because once believers do not take on the mark of the beast is going to punish them. They are going to feel the beast's oppression. But it's only for a short time, the Bible says. A period of 42 months. A period of 3.5 years. A period that will come to an end. And therefore, saints, we are called to be so mindful that this time is coming. And this is something that we can't take for granted. We need to know, you need to check it out to understand that this really is true. So we dealt with that last week. And this week, we want to get a little closer to understand who the beast is. Because this is very important. So turn with me again to Revelation 13, verses 1 to 2. And you see the Apostle John there describing a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns. And it, of course, these are all, you could say, symbols that we need to know. Let's read it. It says, and I stood upon the sand, says John, of the sea, and saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. Now, where have you ever seen anything like that? Certainly. Maybe you couldn't even stand the sight of something like that. But what we need to understand is that all of these things are symbols with meanings. They all have important meanings for us. Continue with in verses 2 to 5 of the same Revelation 13. And the dragon gave him its power. So notice, there's someone who heads all of this thing. Whether you hear about beast, or you hear about Antichrist, or you hear about, various things like kings and kingdoms and empires and so on. If you hear about all these things, it all comes back to one figure. That figure is the person referred to as the dragon, who is Satan. All right? So understand that. And you will not be confused once you understand that, because it is all the work of Satan. But Satan is working through authorities like governments, and is working through authorities like religious leaders. And is using this in order to accomplish his purpose. And it says, and his deadly wound was healed. Step back a bit, and I saw one of his heads as it were, as if it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered about the beast. So the beast that we are talking about is someone or something, we'll get into the details of it, that at a point in time was so badly wounded that it was a death wound. And everyone thought, well, the beast is gone. But you're seeing here that there was a healing of that wound. And so the beast came back to life. And the world was stunned that this beast could have re-emerged and come back with such power. And then it says, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. That is worshipping Satan. Remember, Jesus tells us Satan is the god of this world. And remember that Satan wanted even Jesus to worship him. Yes. Remember when he met Jesus and he says, all this I will give you if you bow down and worship me. Satan wants worship. Yes. And if he didn't get your master, he's coming after you. There is a big war ahead of us. And this war is not just the physical wars that we will be seeing being fought in this world. That will happen too. But there is war in the spiritual world, where Satan, the archenemy, is seeking to destroy the people of God. And they said, who is like unto the beast? Because the beast is going to be so powerful. You know what that means? That means miraculous. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. Didn't you see that in Daniel?
Yes.
That he will speak against God? And he will change laws?
Yes.
So notice, you're seeing, he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue for 42 months. And of course, he was given power also over the saints, so that the saints would be very, very much, almost in his clutches. And just the way in which, you find yourself in Babylon, and Babylon has all the power over you. This is how this beast is going to be so much in control. But why are we saying this? We're saying this because you cannot take it for granted. Many believe that because they worship God, that they are free from pains. People think about the whole idea that God doesn't want them to be sick, or God doesn't want them to be poor, or God doesn't want them to suffer, all kinds of tragedies. You're going to find that you're going to question yourself. As you say, really? Is God really with me? How could God be with me? And these things are happening to me. But you know what Jesus says? He said, see, I told you these things before, so that when they come, you will know they will happen. You don't have to ask. You don't have to be in despair, because Christ has already told us. He says, see, I've spoken these things. I've told these things to you, so that when they come, you will not question as to whether they are going to be happening. So much of what we have read there in the book of Revelation are symbols that we need to understand in order to make sense of what it is talking about when it refers to the beast. And of course, the core symbols that we read about are the beast, the heads, the horns, the sea, the dragon. All these things are symbolic of persons or things. And therefore, we need to get an understanding of it. So how do we come to understand it? But remember, we have been saying week after week that the Bible interprets itself. Therefore, we don't go to ask some scholar or some bright person out there. We go to the Bible. Now, scholars have their purpose. Don't misunderstand. Scholars do quite a bit of work, and they're able to go back into history. They're able to go back into language. They're able to do chronological, studies, and they're able to put things in perspective. That's okay. But you know when the scholar is good? When the scholar is actually using the Bible to interpret the Bible. But when a scholar is coming up with something that the Lord dropped in his spirit last night that is not in the Bible, then you better be careful. Because God is not he's not writing another Bible. God has completed. He says, this is the word of God. And these things, if anyone add to it or subtract from it, let him be cursed. So therefore, everything you do, this is why when we speak, we say, well, where do you get that from? Where in the Bible do you get that from? Because whatever we believe, whatever we say, it must align with the word of God. So we go to the Bible. And what you will see here in the scriptures is, if you go with me to Daniel 7, because what we read there in Revelation, what we read in Revelation 13, Daniel 7 helps us to understand it. And if you look at I'm going to do a little bit of parallel with you. I'm going to parallel with you a few scriptures. Go to Daniel 7:25, and at the same time, find for me Revelation 13:5. Okay? Because what we're doing, we're going to show you how Daniel, interprets Revelation. Okay? So, if you look at Daniel 7:25, and look at Revelation 13:5, what Daniel 7:25 says, it says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. Okay? And Revelation 13:5 says, speaking things and blasphemies, okay, against God. Okay? So you're seeing that the same person that Daniel is speaking about is the same that you're seeing in Revelation 13. All right? So just write down on your notes. You can take your time in your own time and look at it again. But Daniel 7:25 compares with Revelation 13:5. Also, look at Daniel 7:21. Daniel 7:21 compares with Revelation 13:7. So Daniel 7:21 reads, and the same horn made war with the saints. So the horn of Daniel is the beast of Revelation. Because notice, it says in Revelation 13:7, and was given unto him, that is the beast, to make war with the saints. And what it means is that the beast is not really simply an end time phenomenon. The beast has been along the way. The beast, there has been six times so far that the beast has emerged and has gone down. So we say have been six resurrections of the beast along the way. And the beast in the end time will be the seventh resurrection of the beast. Okay? So that resurrection has not happened yet, the seventh resurrection of the beast. But in history, the beast has emerged and reigned in power and has gone out of power. And this cyclical thing is going to end with the culmination of the seventh resurrection of the beast, where the beast is going to you know. So this is why we're comparing Daniel and Revelation, because Daniel had gotten this revelation even before the first beast, the first appearance of the beast. And so Daniel, what you're seeing is that that prophecy is the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy in the end time that we are seeing in Revelation. So we have just compared Daniel 7:21 with Revelation 13 and verse 7. Okay? We're going to do another comparison. We're going to compare Daniel 7:25 with Revelation 13:7. Okay? So it's a continuation, but it's another segment of the beast. It says, the beast shall wear out the saints of the Most High in Daniel 7:25. Okay, keep your fingers in the two places. Yeah. Keep one finger in Daniel 7 and the other in Revelation 13, all right, for the time being. Yeah. Because what we're doing is we are showing that Revelation is capable of interpreting, Daniel is capable of interpreting Revelation. Okay? So what we've seen here is, we're seeing here now in Daniel 7:25 and Revelation 13:7, Daniel 7:25 says, "He shall wear out the saints of the Most High," and Daniel and Revelation 13:7 says, "War with the saints and overcome them," which is wear them out until. And you're going to find that some people are going to subject themselves to the beast. That is why Jesus said, "He that overcomes to the end, it is they that overcome." Christianity is about overcoming. Christianity is not this smooth road. Most of the problems you will experience, you may experience them in the church. Because God will ensure that you have some problems to overcome. He will allow it to happen. And if it is not happening at home, and it is not happening at work, or if it is not happening on the bus, it will happen in the church. And therefore, we all must have this understanding that problems will come. We don't know from what angle, but it will come. And we're going to have to overcome. Because the beast is going to wear us out where we submit. We are down to the point where we would feel as though we should submit to the beast. Okay, look now with me, please, at Daniel 7, verse 20. And look at Revelation 13 and verse 7 again. And you're seeing here where Daniel 7, 20 is saying that the beast is more powerful or more stout. He is stronger than all the other beasts that have come before him. And it says here, power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So the beast is after all of humanity. Yes. And the nations of all tongues will, you know, the vast majority of humanity is going to submit to the beast. But it says that he would have power over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So it means that he really is going to be conquering. He's going to be in charge. He's going to have the power. I mean, you're going to look foolish because you're the only one that is not following the beast. And everybody's going to look at you and say, "What's wrong with you?" And you're going to say, "Well, you know, really, I haven't eaten this morning." Why? "Because I just couldn't buy anything." "Why can't you buy anything? I can buy." Say, "No, the reason I can't buy is because I cannot follow that law. I cannot abandon God's law." "Oh, you, where did you come from? You dropped off of the globe or something?" Everybody is eating. Everybody is doing well. Why do you put yourself in that position? Blame yourself. You listen. You haven't seen anything yet. No. You know what? You know what? We better wake up. We better understand that right now the little issues and the little trials we're going through is just to help us to build some muscles. That we can overcome when the real time for overcoming is necessary. It's like you're in an exercise mode and you're doing some exercise in order to put you, to make you fit enough. And if you fail at this stage, then it is going to be easy to fail when the real thing comes. That is why we have to discuss these things. And that's why God gives us time that we can discuss them now. Because it's going to be too late when that time comes. You're going to be too hungry. You can't even listen to things like this. Because you're so drained. Therefore, right now, equipping the saints is really what the church is about. Equipping people so that they can follow God. And look at, again, Daniel 7:25. And look at Revelation 13:5. It says in Revelation, in Daniel 7:25, it says, they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. So they shall be given into the hands, the saints. Why do you think they will be given into his hands? Why do you think God allows the saints to be given into the hands of the enemy? For the same reason that Job was given into his hands too. He went and he said, the only reason that Job is following you is because you put a fence around him. And God said, oh yeah? No. My servant Job, you don't know him. He loves me from the heart. Yeah. Go do anything you want. Just don't touch his life. But do anything you want. And I prove to you who Job is. God wants to prove who we are.
Yes. Amen.
And we are going to be given over. But remember today's sermon.
Yes.
Remember when it comes.
Hallelujah.
That you have to be a Job. You have to do like Job. And you have to be able to overcome.
Amen.
No matter what is coming at it.
Amen.
So what is it that you do today that shows that you can be an overcomer in the future?
Hallelujah.
How does your life today that you live speaks to your ability to overcome in the future? That's a question. That is a question that we are all challenged to answer. So, we need to understand these symbols, and Daniel helps us through these things. So let us turn now to Daniel 7, and we're going to read from verse 2, and we're going to see how Daniel unveils what is a vision or a dream that God has given to him, and Daniel is going to see the whole future ahead of him. And you know what God says to Daniel after he showed it to him? Because Daniel was puzzled. Daniel was at the point of tears. Daniel was very hurt, very hurried, very worried about what is happening. And God said, lock up the book. Lock it up. It's not for you to understand. There's a time when it is going to come. Seal up the book. Those seals are going to be broken in Revelation. And those seals, the opening of the seals, are going to be seen in the book of Revelation. How when the seals are removed, the conditions that will appear upon the earth, the conditions of breaking of those seven seals and the unveiling of the veil, all of these things are going to be seen in Revelation. So notice, we read about lion and we read about bear and we read about leopard in the book of Revelation. So let's go into Daniel now. Daniel spoke saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the Great Sea. Now you may wonder, what is that? The four winds of the earth stirring up the Great Sea. But you're going to get to realize that what he's talking about is that there's something stirring up the peoples of the earth. Okay? The peoples of the earth. There's going to be a change. People are going to say, but how come people are doing these things? Because there's going to be a stirring up where people's minds are going to be changed. People's attitudes are going to be changed. Remember what you read in Timothy, 2 Timothy, where it tells you about the behavior and the character of human beings upon the earth in the last days. All of this is going to happen. And it says here, verse 3, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. So they all came out of the same place, out of the sea. So it's important to know what the sea is. They all came out of the sea, and each was different from the other. So notice this. Each of these beasts have a different personality, a different character, a different behavior. Okay? So take note. Now, we go to verse 4. We're in Daniel 7. The first was like a lion. So we are now seeing the first beast. So the character of the first beast was like a lion. And it had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off. And it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And a man's heart was given to it. So, okay. Up to now, it's still a kind of a puzzle for us. Well, the answer is coming up. The answer is coming up. So follow. Because we're going to get the interpretation. Yeah. Right? It's right there in Daniel. Yeah. But let's go through. So that is one of the beasts. The beast, the lion beast. Right? And you see the description given to it. So each of the beasts is different. Then go to verse 5. And suddenly, another beast, a second, like a bear. So this one is not a lion. This one, like a bear. And it was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said, thus to it, arise and devour much flesh. So this beast, again, the second beast is of a different personality. Then there's the third beast, because it said four beasts are coming out of the sea, right? So the third beast. Verse 6 is the third beast. After this, I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. All of this has meaning. And by the way, all of those beasts have risen already. And they up and off and up and down, right? So 6 resurrections. And you'll wonder, well, how come 6 and we're talking about only 4? How come do we say there's 6 and there's going to be a 7th one? Well, we'll talk about that, right? Now, look at verse 7. Because this is now the 4th beast. And this beast is the one that is in the end time. Right? This is the beast that will have reigned, but it is the one that's going to be resurrected again in the end time. So let's look at this beast here, because this is the one that is your the major beast. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful, terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. So this beast is extremely powerful. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. So already we're beginning to see 10 horns here. And we saw 10 horns in Revelation, right? So you see, we're identifying the beast. We're identifying the beast that is in the book of Revelation. It was considering, it was I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. So these things, you can read it and you can probably wonder, but you know what? There's no human being that can provide the answer by himself. It can only be provided by God himself. Now, if you look with me at verse 16 and 17 of Daniel 7, same Daniel 7 we're in, you see there it says, "So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things." So you want to know what these things mean? The interpretation is in right here in Daniel. Verse 17 says, "Those great beasts which are four kings which arise out of the earth." And notice when it says four kings, it also means four kingdoms. You know it says four kingdoms because if you go down to verse 23, it says the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. So you're noticing it is telling you that the beasts are four kings. So you don't have kings without kingdoms.
That's right.
Okay? So what you're having here are kings with kingdoms. And they are all going to reign along the way. Now, the horns that we saw there. Look in verse 24. And you see what the horns mean. Verse 24, it tells you. So we need not guess. We need not guess. The 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. So the 10 horns we read of in Revelation that this beast has shown are 10 kings that shall arise along the way. So many of these kings have already arisen along the way, and this is really the ten horns, which are the 10 kings. And so these do not all reign at the same time. These are succeeding kingdoms that we are talking about that would have happened along the way. If you turn with me to Daniel 2 and verse says 31 to 35, you will see it tells us something more about these kingdoms. Okay? These four kingdoms which you see coming out of the sea. And by the way, the sea, in the book of Revelation, it interprets and tells us what the sea is. It says the sea is really the peoples of the earth. Okay? So these kings and kingdoms are coming because people have come to support them. And the peoples, it comes out of the peoples of the earth. So what it means, kings rise up and kings are torn down by the various peoples.
Yes.
And that is how governments come to office. Governments come to office generally because of peoples. Yes. Even if the governments are autocratic, in many, many instances, the people may bring them into power out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
But they come in because they need. A government or a kingdom cannot reign. A king cannot reign constantly by having the peoples opposed to him. It has to be where the people are giving some kind of support. to that kingdom. So it is explained that. Now in Daniel 2, you are seeing here in verse 36, Daniel had a dream, and Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Daniel was called to interpret the dream. Okay? And in verse 36 of Daniel 2, Daniel is going to tell him what this dream also means. And so Daniel says, this is a dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. And here's Daniel to the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over all of them. You are this head of gold, because it was the statue, okay, and he saw different metals, whether it's gold and silver and bronze and whatever, right? And now Daniel is giving the interpretation. So this is another explanation of the same thing. You're getting it, and this is what you could call a kind of where the Bible is verifying itself. It is corroborating, and it is explaining. So it's the same four kingdoms we're talking about, but now you're seeing that it's telling you a little bit more about the character of the kingdom. So this kingdom would have been the first one, which is the lion, okay? And the lion, of course, is known to be the head of the beast world, the lion, okay? The bear is known for its strength, okay? So we are seeing that there are various characteristics that are coming to bear. And it shows you here, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. So the head of all the kingdoms, the one that is the first kingdom. But after you, verse 39 of Daniel 2, but after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom, a kingdom of bronze. We shall rule over all the earth. Verse 40. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks into pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break into pieces and crush all others. So we are seeing this kingdom being explained in Daniel 2 as well. But it is giving you some other perspectives on the kingdom that you did not get in the first explanation. So these kingdoms in history, where can you identify them? How can you know them? Well, we could spend some time doing a bit of historical investigation and analysis. But what we're going to do is just to give you the names of these kingdoms. They have existed already. They are gone. The first three went. The fourth came in one form, and that fourth was wounded, and it will rise again. So let us talk about the kingdoms that they have existed. The first, remember, it was Nebuchadnezzar who got the dream first, and he was going to be the ruler. So you already know that the first was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. It doesn't really take a lot to know that that's Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, because Daniel told him, right? He told you that you are that king. So we already know what the first of the four kingdoms is, right? And that is the what's called the Chaldean Empire, which is also called Babylon, right? And this is during the period, if you want to write it down, 625 to 539 BC. Okay? 625 to 539 before Christ era. Okay? The second kingdom. The second kingdom in history is the Medo-Persian kingdom. And you will read in history about the Medes and the Persians. And you will read a lot from history. They reigned from 558 BC to 380 BC. So we are already beginning to date the kingdoms. All right? So that's it. The second kingdom. The third kingdom. The third kingdom was Greece, the Greek. And this was under Alexander the Great. You could call it also the Macedonian kingdom. And he is the one that conquered the Persian Empire. So he conquered it, and that empire was later divided. And so this brings forth for all of us the idea of this third kingdom. So we understand. But there's something special about this third kingdom. This kingdom was split up. This third kingdom was split up into a number of three, into three kingdoms, actually four. And you had Macedonia and Greece as one of the four. So notice this is a different four we're talking about now. This is the splitting up of the third kingdom. Macedonia and Thrace and Western Asia as another of the four. Syria and the territory east of the Indus River is regarded as the third, and Egypt the fourth. So these four are kingdoms coming out of the third. So a kingdom comes into office, a king comes into office, and there is a splitting up of the kingdom, and there are now four kingdoms instead of one. So these are the four heads of the third beast, as you see in Daniel 7. Now the fourth kingdom actually, which is the one that is going to be resurrected in the end, that we are going to see, that kingdom began to exist from 31 BC, and it reigned up to 476 AD. Okay? So that kingdom, which is the dreadful and terrible, the one with iron and that can crush everything, it reigned already. And for that reason, you'll be able now to count seven. You'll be able to see that the kingdoms, three, which is the first, second, and third kingdom, and then the third kingdom had another three, making four. So there's six. Those six have already reigned and have fallen. Okay? And therefore, there's a seventh that is going to be coming back. And that is the resurrection of the fourth kingdom. The seventh resurrection of the kingdoms, the wounded, it was this kingdom that we are looking at, which was formed in 31 BC, and which came, it was wounded in 476 BC, And it's tried many come back since. Many come back. But it has not really made the major comeback. All the other comebacks are kind of a trial thing. But the real resurrection is going to happen. So the seven heads, heads that you're seeing on the beast in Revelation would be: one, the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar; two, the kingdom of Persia. Okay, two, the kingdom of Greece, which totals four. Okay, because remember, it was split up into four. And the kingdom of Rome. And the kingdom of Rome. So if you add four, which is the kingdom of Greece, and you add Nebuchadnezzar, add Persia, and the kingdom of Rome, which are three, four and three gives you the seven. So you see the seven kingdoms and the seven kings coming out of that. That's how we arrive at seven kingdoms and seven kings. So the fourth beast in Daniel 2 is really the beast in Revelation 13. And that beast is Rome. So who is the beast? It really is Rome, the Roman Empire. And it is given another name, the Holy Roman Empire, because there will be an alliance between the empire, the political empire, the economic empire, and the spiritual, which is the papacy, that is the religion of Rome, and therefore the term Holy Roman Empire symbolizes two powers. It symbolizes the combination, the alliance between the physical empire, which is an economic, military power, political power, and it's going to be a spiritual power that that you are going to see there. So this is very, very interesting that we are seeing this. So the fourth beast in Daniel 2 had 10 horns, and we are seeing the beast in Revelation 13 also had 10 horns. So this is really a very interesting interpretation that is given to us by Daniel, and it really reveals to us that this beast that we are going to be contending with in the end time actually began in BC 31. That's when it started. And that beast, along the way, has had several rise and falls. That fourth beast by itself. So what you're reading in Revelation are not all four beasts. You're reading about the fourth beast. And so when we say, who is the beast of Revelation? We can say it's the fourth beast. It is Rome. It started in AD 31. It reigned for a period from AD 31 to AD, from BC 31 to AD 476. And at that time, it was during that time that the law of God, between the time of its reign of BC 31 to AD 476, that the law was changed. Constantine reigned in about 300s of the AD. And he was a major force, one of the major persons who reigned over the Roman Empire. And during that time, there is a whole story when we do a study on on where is the church that Jesus built. When we do that study, we will look at Constantine's era and see how he changed it. That is when the Sabbath was changed to Sunday officially. Okay? That is when Easter, Passover, was abandoned and Easter became the day for commemorating. So we the dates are there. This is when Tabernacles was abandoned and Christmas came in. It is during the first reign of the beast. And that beast is insisting that the laws which he has brought into existence, that law must govern mankind. That is what is happening. That's where we're going.
Right now.
And that beast is something you and I, or if we die before, our children are going to contend with.
Yeah.
And Jesus would say, "He who hath an ear to hear, let him hear." He who hath an ear to hear, let him hear. So, Revelation 17 tells us more about this beast. And we are not going to go into it because we are going to talk one of these days about the two women of Revelation. The two women of Revelation. You're going to see two women. One that is a harlot. And the other, which is a pure woman. And they represent two churches.
Yes.
And one is God's church. The other is Satan's church. Satan has a religion on the earth. Let us be outspoken.
Yes.
Let us not cover. Satan has a church.
Yes.
It's a religious system.
Yes.
And his system is where the vast majority of mankind is going to gravitate to. And you and I must know these things ahead. That church is organized as a civil government. The Vatican is not simply the head of the Roman Catholic Church. It is also a state. The Vatican has ambassadors in countries across the world. And we must understand, the Catholics do great work. They are one of the bodies on this earth that shows great compassion towards the poor. And in many, many countries, many universities, many people get their education because of the Catholic institution. Don't misunderstand. When we speak about the Catholic Church, there's a lot to honor and to see that they have done a great and wonderful job. But the point we're making is that is how Satan works. Satan does not come to you and give you a bitter pill. He doesn't. The bitterness is on the inside, but it is coated with sugar.